Mark chapter number 9 this morning. We finally have made our way here to a new chapter. So we've been studying for some time on the gospel, the life of Christ according to the gospel of Mark. And I trust it's been a blessing to you. We're well over 50 messages now and even more services than that. I've enjoyed our study together in this gospel record, all right? We'll look at one verse this morning as we come to Mark chapter number 9. And very interesting text. I'm not going to deal with everything in the verse. I'll explain that in just a moment. But I want to look at a few things with you today and pull some truths out, get it started. The Bible said, stand with me if you're willing and able to do so. Amen. We want to look at Mark 9, verse 1. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen, notice this phrase, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. The kingdom of God come with power. Now, there's a lot to this verse. You can be seated this morning. A lot to this verse. If you'll study the account of Matthew and the account of Luke, both of them deal with this same setting. What's interesting when you find it in those passages of Scripture, you'll find it is directly connected to the teaching, previous teaching we found in the end of Mark chapter number 8. And so we understand this. I don't want to get into all the depths of this and nuts and bolts. We understand the chapter divisions and verse divisions in our King James Bible. That is not how it was written when it was originally written, that it was written as one long formatted story that Mark is covering from event and event and life, situation to situation of the Lord Jesus. And so chapter number 9 and verse 1 actually belongs to the end of what he was dealing with in chapter number 8. You'll see that clearly in Matthew and in Luke. And yet for our study, as we're going just verse by verse throughout the gospel according to Mark, we find this in this chapter. And it concerns the fact that the Lord, remember in the previous Lord's Day, that in that setting where the Lord was dealing with whosoever will come after me, whoever wants to be saved, is willing to be saved, willing to by faith enter into this life of what it's going to be a disciple and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about you've got to be willing to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow the Lord. That was a call to salvation. The idea there was simply that the Lord was not giving them some false, deceptive promise of a life of ease that would come with salvation. And if you're going to be saved, it will be a life to be lived in self-denial. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. There'll be crosses you must bear. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. That you have to live your life in obedience and submission and following Christ. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. And he said all this, not just to his disciples, but he said it after that he had called the people unto him with his disciples also. And so we believe, according to this time frame, there's still a lot of crowds there. Or not maybe as large as there had been in previous chapters, but there's still a rather large gathering and large multitudes of people that are kind of on the circuit that Christ is ministering in. And so when we come to chapter number 9 and verse number 1, the end of this message that he's going to give, he said unto them, he's speaking to the crowd at large, and says to them, verily I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And there's been a lot of debate about what does Christ have in mind. Some have tried to reference it to the disciples only, but it's not the disciples only that are there. He's speaking to the crowd at large. Some have said, well, the Lord got it wrong. And I want to go on record and say the Lord never got anything wrong. And if you and I have a problem understanding what he's saying and what is being communicated, that doesn't mean the Lord's wrong. That means somewhere we're lacking and lagging behind in an ability to understand what he was trying to communicate. And it's not my goal to get into what did he mean there, that there be some of them that stand here. We'll get into maybe some of that on next week. I do think there is maybe a connection to what is getting ready to take place in verses number 2 down through verse number 10, but we'll look at that on another time. It is interesting, and we're not preaching on this morning, that we're introduced to something about death in this text that is known as the taste of death. According to what Christ is saying, death, when death comes, there is something that is to be tasted. He deals with it here. He would deal with it, I believe it's in John chapter number 6, that he had taught the Pharisees and taught the crowd that those that would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they should never taste death. Ain't that interesting? Yeah. Well, amen. Well, it is to three of y'all. It is to me that at the time of death, there's something that mankind is to taste. But if you've been saved, amen, then you will never taste in death. It doesn't mean you won't die physically, but it means that death loses its bitter taste. And we can go through the Word of God that death to the child of God, it's as though we have gone to sleep and are at rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing bitter about it. There's nothing to dread about it. There's nothing repulsive about it. We have been prepared under that moment of time in which we leave this life and enter into eternity. How could we dare say that at all? I love what Hebrews chapter number 2 said of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he tasted death for every man. And I'll be preaching a message sometime down the way on the taste of death. That's all I'm going to say about it. Amen. I'm not going to taste death. Jesus tasted it for every man. I believed on the one who tasted it for me. And thank God I'm not going to taste of death. And what I'm interested in here in this verse this morning is that the Lord said, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now this morning, if the Lord will help us, I want to preach on the simple thought. I'll begin it this morning. We'll make it through the introduction, maybe one point, and I'm going to stop. And it won't take me long to do it if I can get after it this morning. And I want to preach on the thought this morning, seeing the power of the kingdom of God. Seeing the power of the kingdom of God. When you begin to study the subject of the kingdom of God, you're going to find that in the Word of God, it is manifest in two stages. Now, the one that most folk wrap their mind around or center upon is the fact of that stage of what will be known in days to come, a literal kingdom of God in which the Lord Jesus Christ sets up a throne in Jerusalem and reigns in the place as David's son for 1,000 years. It'll be a little earthly kingdom, and you'll find that that is the one place most people go. But the kingdom of God is not only literal, there is a spiritual stage to this subject of the kingdom of God. There's a lot of debate, and it's amazing the hyper-dispensationalists and their debates and arguments over and surrounding the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven and the dispensation we're in today, as though it has no bearing on you and I and the message that we preach. But this morning, I want you to understand that Christ spake of both the literal stage and the spiritual stage of His kingdom. And He did this throughout His earthly ministry. And the Old Testament prophesied of both a literal kingdom and a spiritual kingdom of God that would come and would be fulfilled not only by, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, to have a kingdom, you've got to have a king. Amen. If there's a kingdom, there's got to be a Lord sitting upon a throne. And I want to say tonight that Jesus, our God, has made Jesus both Lord and Christ. Amen. And so He is the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. And so He speaks of both in His earthly ministry. But when you study the Lord's teaching about the kingdom of God, here's what you're going to find, I believe. Now, I bear to be corrected, but if you're going to try to come correct me, you better bring your Bible, because that's all I'm interested in hearing about. Amen. Not what you read out of some other book. Amen. Nobody becomes a hyper-dispensationalist studying the Word of God. You get that out of other books. Amen. Somebody help me now. Amen. And so Christ, in His earthly ministry, particularly emphasize that of the spiritual kingdom of God. Amen. The literal kingdom is not what He came to establish. Somebody said when He came to establish an earthly kingdom, the Jews rejected Him, and so plan B had to be implemented into a spiritual kingdom. The Bible said that Christ was given a body and sent from heaven for the sufferings of men. He was not given a body to come and rule and reign upon this earth. It was always my friend to come and to bleed and to die and to establish a spiritual kingdom. I'll prove it to you from the Word of God this morning. Amen. And so He emphasized a spiritual kingdom. If you got your Bible, and I trust you do, follow along with me this morning. Look with me in Luke chapter number 7 before we come back to our text here in a moment. Luke chapter number 17, rather. Luke 17 and in verse number 20. The Bible said, and when He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. And you've got to understand already in the Lord's earthly ministry, there have been several places where the Lord has said and commanded His disciples to say to the inhabitants of the land of Israel, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And that's already been the declaration, and so it bears to mind. And if that has been His teaching, they now want to know when and how this kingdom of God should come. He answered them and said, watch it now, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And so the Lord is speaking of that spiritual aspect of the kingdom of God. I know and I understand if you're not used to Bible preaching, you're thinking, dear God, what in the world is He preaching? Please. Amen. I'll get to where it's going to make sense even to you here in just a moment. A kingdom of God. There is a kingdom. There is a king. There is an authority. There is a rulership. There is a lordship that is being exercised. And it is known as the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, you're waiting on me to wear a crown upon my head. You're waiting for me to pick up some scepter and sit on a throne. What you've got to understand, the kingdom of God, it has not come, it cometh not with observation. If you're looking for me to put a crown on my head, that's not going to happen. If you're looking for me today to pick up a royal scepter and to go giving out commands and do away with the Roman Empire, you're not going to observe that in this hour. I've come to bleed and die. I'm the only king that's got to die for my kingdom to begin. I'm the only king that's going to surrender that my crown may be picked back up. Amen. It cometh not with observation. And then the Lord clearly declares to them, at this matter, the kingdom of God in this time and hour in which the Lord has come, And the kingdom of God is within you. And before you can ever think about observing the literal kingdom of God that is going to take place in days to come, my friend, He's literally going to wear a crown, literally going to rule upon this earth, is literally going to be visited by the nations, and every knee in that day is going to bow before Him and worship Him. And if you're ever going to enter that glorious kingdom, you're going to have to understand there is a spiritual kingdom that the Lord is going to bring you in that kingdom of God. It must be within you. Amen. Jesus spake this and taught this even to a pagan Gentile Pilate. As he had been delivered to Pilate, they had said to Pilate, this man claims to be the king of the Jews. And so Pilate says in John chapter number 18 and in verse 35, am I a Jew, thine own nation? And the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Here's what Jesus answered in verse number 26. My kingdom is not of this world. It's not made up of borders and boundaries and divisions. Amen. My kingdom is not of this world. He would go on and follow that up by saying, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And so Christ is saying, if it was an outward, literal, earthly kingdom, and my servants would draw their sword. Peter had already done it in the garden in the hour of his betrayal. Into the hands of the soldiers, he drew his sword and struck off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. And Christ commanded him, sheathe your sword. Hey, hour's not come to fight. This is the hour of my death and my suffering. This is the hour in which my kingdom is going to begin. And Peter, it is going to be a kingdom that is not of this world. They're not fighting with guns and tanks and swords. They're not fighting with military might today as Christians because we're trying to conquer the world. Amen. We simply fight a spiritual battle declaring, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God has come. Repent, as our Savior preached, and believe the gospel. Amen. That is our message in this hour. Amen. It's the same ministry and message the Apostle Paul preached. Amen. And we understand these people that have fallen out with me over this. But, amen, I understand Paul said, I preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you study Acts chapter number 28, when Paul for 2 years prior to his death was in prison in the house of Caesar there in Rome, the Bible said all the men that would come to him, what did he do? He preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and those things concerning Christ. And the Bible said there were some that believed, there were some that didn't believe. And by the space of 2 years, that is all that he declared to them. What? Because it is the gospel that brings a man into that spiritual kingdom of God. Amen. And that is what Christ had in mind when he came. Are you listening today? There is a literal kingdom of God and a spiritual kingdom of God. And what I want to say this morning is that when you study the kingdom of God, now today, amen, it is invisible to the physical eye. You cannot see it. Now you can see manifestations of it every time you come to the house of God. There is a group of citizens that belong to that kingdom. And there's a manifestation of it to some extent, you see. But it's not realized in its totality and its literal fulfillment yet. It will come to pass when the Lord, amen, returns to this earth again. And we'll say more about that. It'll be 2 weeks before I get there. Amen. But what I do want you to understand is that whether you're speaking of the spiritual aspect of the kingdom of God or the literal aspect of the kingdom of God, one thing is clear, the kingdom of God, it always comes with power. That if you see the kingdom of God in one of these days, every eye is going to see it literally. And when Jesus comes and sets up His earthly kingdom of God upon this earth, It will not be with timidity. It will not be something that is done at. We're not going to have a spineless, gutless king and is going to rule over that kingdom. He's coming with a rod of iron and many crowns on his head. He's coming riding a white horse. He's coming with authority from his word. Amen. From his mouth will proceed a sharp two-edged sword. And the Bible said is the word of God. Amen. He'll be able, my friend, with authority and great power to exercise, to set up and to rule over the kingdom of God. And whenever you study the kingdom of God, amen, it is without fail that the kingdom of God must be and is seen as powerful. Jesus said in our text verse that they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now I'm interested this morning on this thought, seeing the power of the kingdom of God. Amen. Seeing the power of the kingdom of God. Now I want to make a declaration. Let's see how y'all can handle this. I have seen the power of the kingdom of God. Amen. You say, that's an awful dogmatic claim to make. Amen. I'm just going to say and tell you, I have seen the power of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That spiritual kingdom of God has as much power in it as the one that is to come.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The kingdom of God comes with power. I like what the Apostle Paul said. Amen. I like what the Apostle Paul said. Let me read you this verse. It's found in 1 Corinthians 4. I don't have time to set all the context of it. But here's what he simply said. Chapter number 4, 1 Corinthians 4, 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. You see, when we talk about the kingdom of God, we're not just using religious lingo. We're not just talking about another man-made religion. We're not just talking about something in words to fill up a Sunday of religious activities. Oh no, Brother David, a kingdom of God goes beyond words. It goes beyond dogmas and creeds and opinions and feelings and religious emotion today. A kingdom of God spiritually is as real and as great and as powerful as that of the literal kingdom of God in days to come. I have seen the power in the kingdom of God. Amen. Not in word. I'm not giving you fluff today. I'm not giving you, amen, they used to call it in Bible college when we'd have to write our essays. Some of them professors, they would say, amen, now don't snow me now. Don't snow me now. Don't put a lot of fluff in your paper. Make it substantive. Amen. Have something to say. Have something that'll make an effect. Have something that'll be powerful to the readers. What the professor would say. And I say, when it comes to the kingdom of God and the power that is contained within it, it goes beyond words. I don't know what you've been taught about the word of God. I don't know what you've been taught about the kingdom of God. I don't know what parent has lied to you and kept you away from the power and seeing the power of the kingdom of God. I don't know what friends or what your background is. Amen. What sin and what wreck and what mess the devil has made in your life. And I'm telling you today, at the kingdom of God, if you ever truly see it, you will see it coming in great power. Jesus preached this. In fact, I find it interesting, 15 times Mark writes of the Lord's ministry where he references the kingdom of God. He talked about the power of the word of God. And related to the seed, he said, the kingdom of God is likened unto a sower that went in a field and sowed seed. And the story in the parable of the sower sowing the seed in the four grounds, then it falls upon the power was in the word. It was in the seed. It was in a power of the man that went forth to sow. But there were some grounds, there were some hearts of men in which the power of the kingdom was realized. And it brought forth fruit, and it brought them into salvation. And over, Christ taught about a kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Amen. And there are things about the literal kingdom that are applicable to the spiritual kingdom as it relates to the power and seeing the power of the kingdom of God. For instance, Jesus said, Mark records this in Mark 16, Mark 13 in verse number 26. Mark 13, 26, he said, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. I know the context. I know that's speaking of the day in which the Lord is going to come back. But the idea is when you see that happen, you're going to know that that kingdom is seen in great power. In chapter number 14, he hits upon it again in verse number 62. And Jesus said, I am, speaking of answering in the affirmative to the question, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? He said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. The idea again is that when the kingdom of God comes to a man, and the kingdom of God in time to come comes to the world, that, my friend, it is coming with power. And if a man or a woman or a young person is that, my friend, see the kingdom of God spiritually, and they will see it coming with great power. Amen. The greatest power on earth is the kingdom of our God. It is the kingdom of His Christ. Amen. It is the saving of a soul. There is power to be seen in the kingdom of God. Amen. A lot of things I could say, a lot of rabbits we could run, a lot of teaching that needs to be done today. Let me get right into it this morning. Seeing the power of the kingdom of God. Let me give you one point this morning and then I'll end. It won't take me but a second. But let me give you a truth this morning about the birthing power of the kingdom of God. Are y'all interested in this? Amen. I can't tell if Jeremy's sleeping over there through them glasses this morning. Amen. 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 Are y'all interested this morning in the birthing power of the kingdom of God? Say, preacher, what do you mean? Notice Jesus said, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Once you go to a very familiar text of scripture found in John chapter number 3. There's a man by the name of Nicodemus that comes to the Lord. He compliments the Lord. He's in search of something. His name is Nicodemus. He's a ruler of the Jews. Verse 2 of chapter 3 said the same. Came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with them. And so Nicodemus makes an accurate claim. He comes to a conclusion, I believe, that is accurate, that is right, that is true. He understands there is something divine in the Son of God. Amen. God has to be with this one. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. There is a birth that must come to pass. There is a birthing power that must be experienced for one to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus presses him upon this. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot, now he's going to say, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. When we talk about seeing the power of the kingdom of God, I want to say this morning, it is not seen in making prayers and professions. Sure ain't seen and realized in repeating prayers that others are leading you in. The power of the kingdom of God is seen when the Spirit of God, hallelujah, brings about the realization of birthing power. That man, friend, brings you out of the kingdom of darkness, brings you out of the kingdom of the devil, and births you into this spiritual kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hey man, oh, I'm so sick and had my fill of this easy believism trash that a friend convinces men that all you gotta do is say this magic formula, abracadabra. That's all, they might as well say that. That's all that junk is. If a man is going to see the power of the kingdom of God, he's going to have to realize it and see it by birthing power. It is something another man cannot do for you. It is something the church cannot, amen, do for you. It is something no preacher on this side of eternity can do for you. All I can do is tell you about it. And it'll take the Holy Ghost. It'll take the Spirit of God letting you see the birthing power of the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. I made profession after profession after profession at 17 years of age. Amen. It was not a prayer that was prayed. Amen. I'm not saying I didn't confess with my mouth. I'm not telling you I didn't make a profession. At that time, it was different. There was power. There was birthing power. And when that transaction was done, I was brought into the family of God. Birthing power. Birthing power. Have you ever seen the birthing power of the kingdom of God? Amen. In this hour, in this day, shallow watered down, just making religious twofold children of hell. I'm going to tell you something. The church better get back to preaching about the birthing power of the kingdom of God. I ain't trying to make anybody doubt today. God forbid that me or any other preacher would do that. Amen. But what I am doing is preaching the Word of God. And Jesus said, you cannot see the kingdom of God in all its power. Amen. It may come nigh you. It may come by you. You may hear a forerunner tell you about it. You may hear a herald and an evangelist and a preacher tell you about that kingdom of God. But if you're ever going to see it for yourself, if you're ever going to know it for yourself, if you're ever going to enter in, amen, it is only the internet and bay and spirit birthing power making it a reality in your life. That's why we get this crowd runs down, says their prayers. Amen. They get even big old crocodile tears in their eyes. And they go back and they run back the same booze and the same dance halls, Seth. And they run back, my friend, the same kingdom of darkness. Amen. Because they never realize and experience and say that birthing power of the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen, that's right. I'm glad I've seen the birthing power of the kingdom of God. Amen, I'm not just born of the flesh today. That's what Jesus said. You see, you can make the flesh pray. You can make the flesh come to church. You can put a King James Bible under the arm of your flesh. And Jesus said, when all is said and done, all your religious activity is over. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's all it is. That's all it'll ever be. Amen. And God gave up on the flesh back in the Garden of Eden. Amen. Your flesh is unredeemable. Your flesh, my friend, cannot be saved. It's vile, it's wicked, and it is set at enmity against God. That's why there has to be a new birth. That's why Jesus said that which is born of the Spirit, it is spirit. It is from God. It is from the kingdom of God. And you can only see it and enter it by the birthing power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
So you and I got to have a conversation. Well, before you come to have a conversation with me, let me remind you what the Word of God said. Amen. Paul said that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood can't inherit it. Amen. It ain't in the power of your flesh. Amen. It ain't in the power of your life. It ain't in turning over a new leaf. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There must be a new birth. There must be a new birth. I said there must be a new birth. Amen. You only say the power of the kingdom of God and its birthing power by the Spirit of the Lord's work in your life. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, the Bible said, be not deceived. Know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And it gives a list of unrighteous people. It would include adulterers and fornicators. It would include drunkards and idolaters and effeminate and rebels. Amen. It would include a long list. And Paul said, this ain't all there is. He said, and the such like. In other words, adulterers and fornicators and whoremongers and effeminate and the homosexuals and the drunkards, they're all alike. Every one of them's alike. And everything that is of the flesh, everything that is of the flesh is unrighteous. And Paul said, do you not know the unrighteous cannot and will not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, that excludes all of us. Because there's none righteous, no, not one. There ain't a good person among us. Hey man, you say I was born in a good family. I was born in a religious home. I've got a real grandma, a real grandpa, and a real mom and dad that knows God. Yeah, but you was born with the same unrighteous flesh and fleshly nature every one of us was born with. And if you're going to inherit and enter and see a power, the kingdom of God, I'm telling you today, it's not in your first birth. It's not by way of flesh in blood. It only comes by the new birth.
Amen.
If you're going to see the power of the kingdom of God, you must be born again.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Amen. I thought about what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter number 5. Y'all still with me, ain't you? I'm almost done. I'm talking about seeing the power of the kingdom of God. I've seen it.
Amen.
I've entered it. I know what I'm preaching about today. So I ain't got a clue. Then that's good evidence you need to be born again. Galatians chapter number 5. Listen to what he said. He said, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. He said in verse number 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these?
Yes, sir.
adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Now I got friends that are sinners that are guilty of things in that list. And I love them. And I pray for their soul. And I pray the light comes on one day. And it doesn't matter if they're friends, if they're family members. The Bible is to be believed, and we taught it this morning in the Sunday school hour, is to be believed when it says, Paul said, I told you before, I told you in time past, and now I'm telling you over again. Paul said, I said it on yesterday, I'm saying it again today, I'll be saying it when the sun gets up tomorrow away, cause it's true, the unrighteous and those that do those things are not inheriting the kingdom of God. Is that too hard for you? Does that make you mad, agitate you that you're excluded? All of us have been excluded. All of us are on the outside. Amen. Saving apart from the birthing power. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, I'm not what I used to be. Paul said the church in Corinth, amen, that there was a time this is what you died. And such were some of you. You was guilty of every one of these things in one way or another. And such were some of you. And now you're sanctified, you're justified, you're glorified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not what I used to be, because I have seen the birthing power of the kingdom of God. One who was on the outside, and one that was excluded, and one that was without hope, and one that my friend was going to bust hell wide open. Thank God, hallelujah. I'm glad to tell you today, I have seen the birthing power of the kingdom of God. Glory to God, hallelujah. I'm about to have me one of them Baptist fits this morning. Ain't you glad you say? Ain't you glad you know something about that birthing power of the kingdom of God? I have seen it.
Amen.
I have seen. You realize what a privilege you have today.
Amen.
You can say, I have seen. I have seen the kingdom of God come with power. I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not the woman I used to be. Oh, I'm still drinking and just changed fountains. I'm still using words, but they don't come from the same place. I'm still enjoying life, but it's in different venues. And it's wholesome and it's holy and it's righteous because I've seen the birthing power of the kingdom of God. You better see that before you taste death. You better see that before you leave this service and walk out them doors and get in your car, make your way and risk. My friend, amen, even, and I'm not trying to be sensational, I'm trying to be real with you today. Amen, listen, amen, before you get in your car and run down the road and delay and put it off or reject the message, amen, you better understand eternity is at stake. Amen, I hear people say, I can never live that Christian life.
Right.
Well, you can't in your flesh. But you can if you've seen the birthing power of the kingdom of God. Amen. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Jesus said to Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. I'm telling you, when the kingdom of God comes into a life and gets place within, it comes with power.
Amen.
If you know what I'm preaching today, you can say, I've seen it.
I've
seen it. I can sing about it and it be a reality. I can talk about it and I don't have to stammer around. Amen. It's amazing. You wanna find out who's seen the birth and power of the kingdom of God? Ask them about eternity. Ask them if they're saved.
Amen.
Ask them, tell you about when they got in the kingdom.
Amen.
Well, I'm a pretty good person and I got baptized when I was a kid. Oh, really? You think that's all it takes?
Amen.
Going to have more than water baptism.
Amen.
Well, I know I've seen the power of the kingdom of God because I go to church. Really? Is that all it's going to take? You mean to tell me everybody here this morning seen the power of the kingdom of God because they showed up today? Not on your life.
Amen.
There'll have to be a personal encounter. One on one with the Holy Ghost. Showing you the birth and power of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
When God let me see it, Gerald, when God let me see it, I didn't need no preacher come down there.
Amen.
Walk me down the Romans Road and the Ephesians Expressway.
Amen.
I didn't need none of that. I'm not even preaching against all that, but I just believe when a sinner sees for themselves the kingdom of God come in birth and power.
Amen.
The best thing you can do is about leave them alone.
Amen.
I had a deacon one time. He got mad at me at my first church because there was a lady struggling, always struggling up and down. Am I saved? Am I not saved? He thought he had all the answers. He could say it better than anybody to make it make sense to everybody he talked to. I went over there one time and said, best thing we can do is just leave her alone, let her sit here on this altar and cry to God.
Amen.
Well, we got to help her. It's the best thing you can do to help her is go back to your seat.
Amen.
Sit down and let the Holy Ghost do what the Holy Ghost has brought her down here to this altar to do.
Amen.
I understand Acts and the Ethiopian eunuch. How can I accept some man show me? I understand all that, and there's a place for that. But when a person gets a place where they finally see the birthing power of the kingdom of God, I promise you the Holy Ghost don't need your help or mine. Because He'll do it. See, all them other times I made my profession, I had to go get Daddy. Daddy, I'm upset. I'm troubled. I need to be saved.
Yes, sir.
I'd have to go down the altar at the end of a church and wait on somebody to come down there. All them other professions I made. That morning I saw the birthing power of the kingdom of God. I didn't have to go wake Daddy up. I'm about to run. I'm glad my house ain't that far away. I can run and make it there, not pass out.
Amen.
I just rolled out my bed and got on my knees, me and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He let me see the power, birthing power of the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, in that moment of time, I saw it for the very first time. All of a sudden, all I'd ever heard finally made sense. All the things they tried to drive into my heart and beat into my mind and force me to live back. All of a sudden, in that moment of time, a birthing power being seen, the birthing power of the kingdom of God, just like that.
Amen.
All the gray area just seemed to be cleared up. And I went, oh.
Amen.
Woo, hallelujah. Oh, now I see what they've been trying to tell me. Now I see how wonderful the Savior is. Now I see how great it is. Amen. To feel salvation's touch. Now I know because I've seen it for myself. Glory to God. I can't see it for you. I can't see it for you. The Holy Ghost and lets you see it for yourself. Glory to God. A man must be born again. A man must be born again. It's an individual one-on-one experience.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Glory to God. I'm glad I've seen. Some of y'all, you didn't know how to take the statement at first. He claims he would dare claim to say he's seen the power of the kingdom of God. Some of y'all we're into now, you can say, I've seen it too.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.